The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
She's an Olympic champion. He is a two-time Olympian. Together, they're figure skating royalty, turned NBC commentators. And now, they're pop culture icons. But more importantly, they're best friends. NBC presents Tara and Johnny. Here's Tara Lipinski and Johnny Weir.
Hi, guys.
Hi, honey. How are you?
I'm good. Nothing's really new since I saw you yesterday, so I don't know what we're going to talk about.
We'll find our way. We always do. But, like, tell me, how, like, my trips and my weeks are crazy, and the back and forth to Stamford, Connecticut, where we record everything for NBC Sports, it's very grueling on me. But you literally fly across the country for, like, 2 hours of voiceovers, 2 hours of hair and makeup, and then you're back on the plane again. Like, how are you still fresh and looking gorgeous?
I don't know. I mean, the last
it's just my jeans.
It's my Polish skin. The white, really pale Polish skin. anyways, so I, last year and the year before, you know this, I would come in from New York, which was...
like a 45-minute car ride.
Yeah, it was amazing. And then I'd be back in the city. And, during this time of year, Thanksgiving, Christmas, it didn't even feel like I was traveling. Now, I do a flight back and forth within, I mean, you know it. I leave Saturday afternoon late. I usually arrive at, like, 10:30. Yeah. And then wake up, we tape. And then I'm either on, like, a noon flight or a 2 o'clock flight back. And it's so funny, Johnny, because the flight attendants are the same crew for the way out and way back. So I always love, you know, walking onto the plane and they kind of look at you funny and they're like, I feel like I've met you. And why are you flying in at midnight and leaving the next day at noon? What do you do with this time?
Definitely an international assassin.
Figure skating. That should just be my answer. But no, it's fine. And, you know, Todd Kapp lives in L.A., so that's what I got to do.
Yeah. I mean, were there any, like, did you get Dubby Taco Bell on the way home from the airport yesterday?
No. Yesterday.
No, you just went straight home.
Yesterday we went straight home and wanted to. So Todd loves to watch my shows after I do them. And I don't know if he's just being nice or he really actually is getting into it, because a lot of times I'm like, you know me. I never want to rewatch anything.
By the time they're on television, we've already watched it like 6 times.
I do not want to see it. No. And, you know, last year this started where he like wants to watch it. And I remember thinking like, oh, you know, we're just newly dating. He's so sweet and just really trying to be like interested in what I do. Like football's on and he's saying he wants to watch figure skating. But I have a feeling deep down he actually likes it. You know, like I was like, oh, there's some excitement this week with, you know, what happens. And he's like, oh, don't tell me. Don't tell me. And I'm like, oh, he's really kind of into it.
Well, now he knows these people because, guys, Todd Kapp has actually come to several events and seen them live and has been able to really appreciate everything that figure skating is in real life. The speed of it, how pretty, how you watch the people come from like the back of the arena walking out to the ice slowly, like they're walking to their deaths. And he's gotten to appreciate it. And now he's like fans of different skaters like Shoma Uno. And he loves Jin Boyang, who's a Chinese skater that does like all these crazy quads. And
well, he's still
like,
such
he's
a
fan.
Guy, Johnny, I feel like you do good impressions of like the skaters he likes, because he's always like, who's that? Who's the dude that like the way he describes it is kind of funny.
Who's that guy? The Chinese one. He jumps really high. Like Todd Kapp will give his impressions on music and costume. Like it's really cute.
Yeah.
But last night, honey, we were not on.
I know.
So you guys, this past weekend we were commentating the Rustelecom Cup, which is the Grand Prix of Russia. It was an awesome competition. Like there were so many seasons bests and great skating and drama. It was just great.
Yeah.
And we were doing it for NBCSN, which is the NBC Sports Network, this weekend. It wasn't on NBC proper. You know, I don't know why. But we were on SN. And we were, you know, it was on late at night. And we were excited about it because we both looked really chic. I mean, Tara was in her, you know, fall standard maroon. She's giving us full-on pumpkin spice maroon as her color of the fall. And I wore a great new boot. And it was awesome. So, like, I was having my gentle come down, and I'm like, okay, well, you know, it's time for skating. I may as well just turn it on so we get a rating point or a rating household, however all that works. And I turn it on, and there's NASCAR on.
No, I know. When we turned it on, Todd, obviously wanting to watch, you know, there were just cars going in circles.
Yeah, and there wasn't, like, a lick of a rhinestone. There was no music.
No.
It was... We got taken over.
They go in circles many, many times as well, because we decided to watch a little bit of it. But I guess not really knowing how the sport works, I don't know. I feel bad. I was a little bored.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. We've talked about this since the beginning of this podcast, because we pretty much started in Rio, and one of our dear friends, he's a broadcaster for NASCAR. His name is Rutledge Wood. And he's a very funny guy, and, like, I got right in there, and I was like, you know what? Is race car driving, is that a real thing? Like, is that a sport? And I get that they've got to be in great shape and the G-forces or whatever, but you know what? Honestly, like, I drive a car every day. And, like, I don't feel it as a sport. I think it's definitely entertainment, like wrestling and stuff like that, because those guys have to be in great shape too, but it's fake wrestling.
I mean, you have to have crazy concentration, I'm assuming, because you're sort of like one small slip up and I could die.
Yeah, I mean, it is definitely like entertaining in that way. Like, it's definitely a thing, like,
but
you would want to watch.
But I really
definitely
enjoyed...
do not step on our toes. I was annoyed that they had a rain delay and they took our slot.
I mean, if it's raining, it's not our fault. You know, just cancel it.
Yeah, just cancel it. I mean, perhaps, I don't even know if it was a live event or not, but ours was pre-recorded, so we definitely had some wiggle there versus them. But people on Twitter rose up, and I had to, like, apologize and be like, you know what, guys, I'm so sorry that our skating isn't on. Enjoy the cars.
Did you like the hashtag mommy hates it? I loved that, like, everyone was talking about that, and it would end with, like, hashtag mommy hates it.
No, guys, mommy definitely hated it last night, and we're really excited when you guys actually use mommy.
Mommy hates it.
Because we love mommy, and mommy loves all of you, and she's thankful that you're listening, but not really, because mommy hates it. Mommy hates that Tara's wasting time doing a podcast when she should be triple looping.
There is no free time in skating.
There's no free, like...
You want me to give up my life?
You're going to give up your podcast. So I don't like to use, like, flashy, very now words very often, but when I think about NASCAR now and taking our slot, I want to throw them some shade. And the only way I can do that is in my diff eyewear.
I can see that. I'm loving wearing my diffs. I have four now. I'm starting a collection. I'm still into the aviators. But Johnny, you know we love to sell people on things. So, yeah. Again, more of my friends have got some diff eyewear this week. And I don't know why it makes me proud. I feel like a mom. I'm like, yes, you didn't have to spend $200 to get nice glasses.
No, you certainly did not. I mean, I gave a pair to my brother. I bought a pair for my brother and his girlfriend, and they're obsessed with them too. But the reason I think you feel so proud about diff eyewear and all of your friends wearing it is that for every pair of very affordable sunglasses that we buy, a person in the developing world gets reading or medical glasses that they don't have direct access to, which I think is
an awesome
aspect.
Great cause. And yeah. And what else is great is you get a 15% code when you use TJDIFF. So you have to go to diffeyewear.com, and to get 15% off, you use our code TJDIFF.
So, honey, I have a funny story. Like, obviously, we're super disappointed that our show wasn't on. It will re-air at another later date, like weeks from now, when it's completely, you know, not important anymore.
But Mama doesn't care.
So, guys, we were obviously really disappointed that our show got pushed last night. But I have a fun story, honey.
Okay.
So... I know you don't watch Shameless, and I know, like, not everyone does, so I'll give a full-on, like, blanket overview of what the show's about.
Okay.
So, Shameless is on Showtime. I'm obsessed with it since season one. It's this family of, you know, degenerates, pretty much, and they're all trying to make it in the big city of Chicago, and they have money troubles, and they have a deadbeat father, and they all have to sort of look after themselves and each other, while trying to make it in America. And the show constantly touches on very socially interesting topics like homelessness. There's a gay storyline. Now there's a trans storyline. Different political things, immigration. Like, they just really are a great rounded show that touches on a lot of things that a lot of us take for granted or don't think about on a daily basis, and they really open your mind. And they're very entertaining, and they make living very dirtily look super glamorous. Dirtily. Is that a word?
Sure. Today it is.
Yeah. It would take it. So anyway, like, I watch it with my parents, and I tucked in last night to watch it with my parents, and we love it, and we love Fiona's, you know, trials and tribulations as the oldest sister and lead character. So there's a gay storyline that's been in there since season one, and it's one of the Gallagher kids. His name's Ian in the show. And, you know, he's gone through the ups and downs of gay life and coming out and, going to the clubs, being a little bit skanky. he's just, like, gone through it all. Like, he's become serious. He had a serious boyfriend. Then he got, you know, into that phase where you have sex with everyone. Like, he's gone through a lot on the show. But anyway, now Shameless has a trans storyline within that gay storyline. So the gay character is falling in love with a trans man. And they actually use a trans actor, which I think is really cool.
Awesome.
And yeah, it's awesome. But last Nate came to the episode where they actually were going to throw down and make love for the first time. And I was with my parents. Now, we all get behind it when Khaleesi gets her bosoms out on Game of Thrones. And
I mean, but a sex scene, that's a bit more awkward.
Yeah, not only is it a sex scene, and it's not just a gay sex scene, but it's also a gay trans sex scene, which, you know, raises a lot of questions. Even though my parents raised this speaking right now, they still have a lot of questions, and there's still like a disconnect. The Queen of Bryant Park. They've raised the Queen of Bryant Park in New York City in the winter. And so it was just getting really awkward. So the characters then, they throw down, and they're in a situation where Ian, you know, very responsibly takes out a condom, and he's the gay character, not the trans character. And then the characters have this moment where they're like, oh, we're both tops. So I start hysterically laughing, and my parents are just kind of like crickets. They don't really know what that means. And I mean, you and I have had this conversation many times because we try to find mommy a husband.
Right.
But
I need to know what to look for.
Yeah. But now I'm in a position where I'm explaining to my parents what a top is. Now, I would assume most of our listeners understand it, but here, let me throw it out there.
Oh, boy, so, I can't wait for you to throw it out there. Go on.
I'm going to try and be as respectful as possible. So if you're, like, driving your kids to school right now, don't worry. But usually in gay relationships, there is one partner that is more feminine and one that is more masculine. And one definitely falls into the man's role and one falls into the woman's role. And, it's a huge spectrum and a big scale. So there are people that vary in the kind of role that they play in the household. There's a different role that you play sexually. And, it just all sort of circles around this whole top-bottom theory. And then it gets really confusing because there are people that are kind of in the middle of the spectrum that'll do a flip-flop and be the man and the woman sometimes. Like, it's just really a lot to explain to your parents. But, you know, finally last night... But I did. And finally, like last night, I had to come out to my parents again as like which role I sort of fall into. And it just got very awkward.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Like I've tried to like hint at it to my mother before because she's one of those ladies that will be like, oh, well, he's really cute and he's gay. But like that doesn't always apply when you're the actual gay that your mom's trying to like fix you up with the Chanel makeup counter guy.
Right.
Mom, like there's a lady and a gentleman for the most part. And that's just how it goes down.
Right.
But it was really funny. Anyway, the top thing, the top is like the one that is more the man in a sexual situation. And the characters found out they were both tops. And then, you know, they couldn't have sex with each other because they both like preferred the same position and weren't going to be the lady.
I just want to know what your dad said when you were explaining all that and then told him what you were. Like, what was your dad's so funny. I just, like, want to know his response. Was any, really funny?
It was really funny because my dad was like, Johnny, I really don't care. My mom was really into it. My dad was like, I don't care. Like, it's all, you know, it's all birds and bees to me because, like, I don't throw down in that way.
Put on
like,
football.
It doesn't matter. So he was like, you go do you. But he was like, Johnny, you know what? The most important thing right now is that you have an inner tube for a stomach that when you're lonely, you can talk to and that you can sleep next to.
You do and not.
Yeah, he said that. And you know what? I was like, Daddy, we're not promoting, like, eating disorders. But, you know, I do have weight to lose. I'm very aware of it. Like, you don't need to talk to my stomach as though it's my new husband. Like, I've got no chance at love or sex in my future. But he really dealt with it well. I think my mom was still stunned by it today when I spoke to her. But
at breakfast.
Yeah, at breakfast. But it's still a whole thing. But anyway, like.
Well, that's an eventful night.
It was really eventful, and it was really eye-opening for my parents.
Good night.
Good night.
Drop that on you.
Mom, I love you guys. I mean, try not to imagine me face down in a pile of pillows, but I'm going to bed.
Yeah,
I mean, there's so much gay stuff, I feel like, honey, that goes on that people just don't get or that gets so stereotypical. I mean, how do you even hang out with me?
I mean, I don't know. I think our relationship is, I mean, I wonder if it's like all regular girl gay relationships, but I find like ours might be a little different. Do you agree? Yeah. Or
I
don't know. Maybe it's the same.
Because you and I just both accept that we are humans. And there are definitely some women out there that just search for that gay man, girl, Will and Grace relationship because it's really, you know, being a gay dude, it's very fulfilling for most women to have a gay friend because here's why. Because, you know, it's great to hang out with somebody that shares interests where you're both kind of looking at dudes walking down the street. It's really comfortable where you don't have to be beautiful and, you know, always on point, always made up and have like a member of the opposite sex that is your dear friend.
Right.
So like there are really fulfilling aspects of the gay girl gay guy, straight girl relationship where you aren't out to impress each other. You're not competing for men for the most part. I mean, unless you're my friend. you know, in general, it's really fulfilling. But there are some very stereotypical gay guy, straight girl relationships where they're each trying to get something out of one another or the girl just wants to feel free by having like this crowd of gay friends around her. But, you know, I have a friend who you know, she lives in Los Angeles and she is very close with mainly gay men. And like she hangs out with the drag queens of Los Angeles and has like all of her speed dials are gay guys. And I asked her, I was like, so is this like really fulfilling? Because you're of an age where, you know, you should be settling down. You should be looking for a husband
right.
and kids, all of that. And she's like, Johnny, like I have 10 husbands. I have 10 best friends. I get laid whenever I need to. I'm not in a position where I like I secretly fall in love with this gay guy and just want him to flip for me. And
right.
you know, it's really interesting. But you and I, like, I don't care who you're sleeping with. I care how you treat me. And
exactly. And, I mean, I think it's just, like you said, it's like humans. I think if I met you and you had a like crappy personality, I almost cursed there. Excuse me.
Excuse me.
I would hate you, you know? And I think that that's why we work so well. I feel like, Johnny, we're probably more soulmates than friends. I mean,
we are at that point.
We
yes.
had a weird, I mean, the way we met in 2010 and started working together and the way we, like, connected so immediately, like, that seems really strange to me that it would happen within, like, a day of working together and we really didn't know each other. And then we spend time apart and we come back to work together and it's, like, immediate again. But I think it's something like, I mean, we have a lot in common. We come from the same world. But beyond that, just as people, I think we connect. I mean, like yesterday I was going through a little personal issue and was just not in a great mood when mm-hmm. I came into hair and makeup. And I remember coming in. I had seen many other people. They all, you know, hi, Tara. They wouldn't guess anything's wrong. And no. I came into hair and makeup and I gave you like a very like, hi, Johnny, like, everything's fine, sat in the makeup chair.
It was fake as poop,
and
the way you said it.
You turned around to me, and you're like, what is wrong? And I realized in that moment, like, there's very few people in your life that, I mean, think about all your friends, and you go to see them when you're having a bad day. I wonder if all of them would really pick up what you're feeling at the moment, and it's just, you know. And then you also know how to handle any situation to, like, make me happier or to make me feel better. And I remember, you know, we work. We don't want to disappoint our bosses. We're on a tight time schedule, and you could sense something was wrong, and you're like, everyone stop. We're going into this dark room over here, and I am
going to
talk to
you
and give you a hug. And, like, it made me feel so much better and was, you know, I was able to, like, move on and get through the show. And just, like, knowing that you have someone that truly understands you is crazy. So I guess that's how I view our relationship. It is, like, human to human. It doesn't matter that you're gay or not. I think there's a lot of benefits to you being gay.
I'm not trying to steal Todd Cap from you.
Right. And it's just, it's fun to have certain things in common. But, yeah, overall, I don't think I fall into probably the regular, like, what I'm looking for. You know, I was never looking for anything when I found you. You just were my human.
Oh, we just happened upon each other in the gay clouds. Cher probably, like, said this out into the world. She was like, Johnny and Tara need to be friends. And we found each other.
Yeah.
But, no. So, like, yeah, I mean, we have a connection that's a lot deeper than just the stereotypical things that sit on the surface of who we are and what we are and stuff. And, like, I you can see the same thing. When something's wrong, we know immediately. And you can tell just by looking at each other. And that's the kind of friendships that everyone should be looking for and trying to get. But what's funny is when, like, when I've met a few of your gay friends over the years and you've met some of my girls, and a lot of my girls are really competitive with one another, and they're all very similar to one another in the way that everyone is, like, a mover and a shaker and type A, and sometimes those girlfriends get jealous, and then your gays could possibly get jealous.
Right.
I remember there was one that just immediately turned on, because the way that we look in public is very different, I think, sometimes than who we actually are.
Right.
And the most annoying thing to me is when people will come up to me, especially when they're gay and especially when they understand how the world sees us, and they start doing all the yes, queen, yeah, girl, like, oh my God, girl, like, we were, okay, like, all that stuff. Like, I don't talk like that, and I don't think that I really present myself as that, but people will just, like, Yahtzee, like, they'll just immediately, like, flip into the way that they think that they should be.
Right.
Meeting a gay that is your friend, and they're also your friend and gay. And,
right.
Like, I just immediately think when I meet most gay people that I just go full on Chinese fighting fish. And, like, you know those ones, the betta fish, they live alone, and their really pretty tails kind of float through the water. And then when they see, like, a finger or another one of their fish, they just, like, puff up and get very, like, they're going to eat one another. That's how I feel when I meet other gays, especially when they're other gays that are close to my girls. I get jealous.
Right. And I think, like, your girls, we talk about this all the time, I haven't really hung out with them.
Yeah, I mean, it's something
so
that has
crazy.
To happen, but
it
I worry.
It has to happen. I know, you shouldn't. I mean, I have 13 people in my wedding party, so I make friends really easily.
Well, you're very easy to get along with and hang out with.
Yeah.
I will give you that.
I mean, I make friends easily, but, like, you have to be a certain kind of friend, because if not, I have no time for you.
Oh, certainly.
It
like
has,
you can,
yeah.
We can see right through people.
Yes.
We can't entertain if we can't kind of read people and read the room and understand. That's something I think that we're really lucky to have, just because we grew up in the way that we did and we do the things that we do now. You always have to be able to read who's actually in it for you and who's in it just to have a selfie.
Yeah, and I hate that. My girlfriends laugh all the time because it's like a running joke. I mean, even when I was single, it would happen with, like, meeting guys, but it also happens with meeting other people or friends. I can either be so engaged and, like, so excited and interested and, like, enjoy getting to know someone, but if I meet them and I'm like, I'm turned off immediately, I find it hard to even, like, you know, be socially correct and, like, carry on a conversation. Like, carrying on a conversation seems like so much work that it's miserable. So a lot of times if I'm with my girlfriends and we're meeting, like, other people's friends, and, like, they're like, oh,
And they suck.
I saw it. Yeah. Like, Tara doesn't like this person. That means, like, it's going to be real awkward. Like, a lot of silence, and then they have to talk to overdo it. And when I was single, that would be the same way with a guy, and my girlfriend, who, like, has a boyfriend, Billy, would have to be, like, talking to him because then I was, like, over it. Like, it's like a...
And he was invited there specifically for you. Like,
right.
He was pimped and sourced
and
for you.
And then there I am just, like, looking on Instagram on my phone and she's stuck having to talk to someone.
It's like when they invited us to the White House Correspondents' Dinner. And we just immediately tuned out because we got put at this table of strangers. And, like, they were all very political and they were awesome and they did great things. I mean, one of the ladies actually worked with Mrs. Obama's team and, like, directly every day was, like, changing the world. And it was awesome. But, like, they were all on display and all doing proper political stuff. And you and I just immediately tuned out and we started, like, filtering our pictures.
I mean, like, we did see, though, Julie Bowen, and that really caught our
Our fancy.
I love
it. But they had to put her at – she was at a different table than us.
Do you think she listens, like, to our podcast?
I would hope so.
Oh, well, Debbie has a new behavior.
How has he developed an entirely new behavior?
Well, he now humps.
It's the season for that. It's called the rut, and it happens in autumn. But anyway, continue.
So, no. Yep. What happens is – he knows I'm leaving, okay? And when Todd, Cap, or I leave, he sees the suitcase and loses his mind. And usually he would just kind of be sad or whatever. Now, while you're packing, he humps you. And then...
And that's not a simple hump. I mean, you're so much smaller than him. Like, he will knock you to the floor.
No, he, like, pushes me over. And this is like a small pony. And imagine, you know, a small pony trying to hump you. Like, he's a 100-pound dog. So Dubby hates Raiden, but we love Raiden. Dubby hates it because when he sees the suitcase, he starts to hump. But I love it because I know my phone's going to stay charged.
Yeah, I start to hump when I see my Raiden luggage. So we actually have a great story. One of our, you know, social media stalkers, and we stalked her back because she stalked us. She actually let us know that she went to Raiden and bought an entire set of suitcases because we were loving them so much.
I thought that was awesome.
Honey, above all else, what do you love most about your Raiden luggage?
I mean, I say it every week. I like that I can charge my phone. My phone is always dead on these long trips, and especially if I have a layover somewhere. So that is my favorite. And then I also like the look of it. I feel very chic when I'm rolling it in the airport with my matte black finish.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all about my shiny white. Looks like a marshmallow. I love the look of it. I mean, I'm an aesthetics guy. Like, the tech stuff is really awesome, and I love that you can weigh your own bag, and you know if your bag's within 150 feet of you. But the look of it, it's just so chic, so glamorous, so now.
Okay, so you know we are pushing you on this luggage, and we want you guys to let Raiden know that we were the ones to send you. So how you do that is you go to www.raidensmart.com/TNJ. Once again, www.raidensmart.com/TNJ.
You know, guys, on this note, we have to take a small break. When we come back, we're going to have Ross Perot, Kanye West, and Shamu join us to talk about the upcoming vote.
Start your Super Sunday with an NBA on NBC blockbuster doubleheader. Four of the league's top teams hit the floor. First, Pat Riley returns to New York when he leads the Heat against Ewing of the Knicks. Then, Shaq and the Lakers face the Western Conference champion Sonics. The NBA on NBC, Sunday at noon Eastern.
1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, so we're back. And we were last talking about dogs, so I think this is a perfect segue to talk about the dog show.
Yeah, so guys, we were enlisted again by NBC to cover the Thanksgiving Day spectacular that is the National Dog Show.
We did it last year.
Yeah, we did it last year.
What an experience.
Here's the thing, like, there's a lot to be said about the dog show.
First off, these people are serious. There is no joking. There was very little smiling that day. Like, there is nothing really lighthearted about this.
And in general, people smile at you and I, whether it's because they like us, they want to be our friend, or because we look odd. People smile at us. And these people were not giving up one tooth to look at us.
No. And we remember we had like a very strong urge to help in some of the grooming processes.
Oh, yeah.
And we would ask them if we could help. And it was like we were, I mean, like if we picked up a brush, they would have probably shot us because no one was touching their dog.
Oh, no. It was like, back off, Poland. Back off, gay dude. You don't come anywhere near the spiritual bubble that my dog is currently in.
Yeah. Oh, man. That was a unique experience. Can't wait to go back.
I mean, it's going to be quite a scene. Like, I loved seeing the other Japanese chins because, as I've said many times, the king of my life, Toma, is a Japanese chin. And that was my favorite thing to see. Like, remember, honey, last year we didn't actually have to be at the dog show for the earlier rounds in that day. And I made sure, like, we all rose up to go early to go see the Japanese chins run around. And we wanted to see their group. It's really interesting. It's very much like that film Best in Show with a lot of different crazy personalities.
I think it's, and, like, exact.
I mean,
the people all look the same as they do in the movie. It's very similar.
It's very similar. I mean, a lot of women that are, you know, remember that woman that was trying to sell us her kind of dog and it had no hair and both of us were like, meh, not into it.
Not into that one. Yeah,
and then that other woman. Okay, so we were filming like a walking moment backstage because Tara and I, as usual, go to these events and we're kind of cultural attachés, dun-da-da-da, and we kind of cover the goings-on behind the scenes because we can't actually commentate about the sport. We can't be like, well, that dog completely lost his gait and he's missing a ball, so he'll probably lose this round of judging, and this dog is better than that dog because he's just an awesome purebred. And, like, we can't.
We should study and try, though. I think that could be fun.
No, rhythmic gymnastics is our next takeover. That's what we're heading towards next. But the dogs can come after that. But, so we were filming this stand-up where Tara and I were backstage, and, you know, these things are all set up, so, like, you guys are going to walk from this mark to this mark, and you're going to have this kind of dog. You're each holding one. I had a very large poodle, and you had, what was it, an Australian Shepherd or a Collie? You had something big.
Yeah, it's something big. I met the flat-coated, but go on.
Yeah, we met our breeds. Like, we definitely met the dogs we were supposed to meet. I love a Borzoi, which is, like, the big Russian dog, of course, that has kind of the sloped body. Like, we met everyone we needed to meet. But anyway, there was this woman, and I can't remember if she had a Borzoi or what she had, but we were obviously filming, and people that go to these national dog shows, they definitely are pushing for their baby to be put on national television.
Right.
And if their dog isn't one that historically will win Best in Show or get to be on TV, like, they will push for their dog to be on. So
it's
we
like
were holding
toddler and tiara moment.
It's very like mommy. Like, mommy was all over it.
Mommy, and get on camera. Mommy says, get on camera right now and smile big.
This is your one shot, Tara. Get on camera.
Gosh, can you be emotive?
So, you know what? It wasn't even the woman with the Borzoi. It was a woman that, like, we had stopped by. Because it's also like, it feels almost like you're at a bazaar in a foreign country. Like, oh, I'm just walking through the bazaars of Morocco and there are 10 stalls selling the same spice and they all think theirs is better. And here's why, and they're trying to sell it to you. We would walk by the dogs, and obviously we had cameras behind us. So if people didn't know who we were, they obviously saw we had cameras. And
they wanted their dog on TV.
Yeah. So we're standing up filming this scene where we're walking these dogs and welcoming people to the backstage area of the dog show. And this woman kept walking in front of the camera and trying to stop our shoot, basically trying to skip out. She basically said things like, Johnny, that poodle's terrible. That poodle should not be on TV. Take my baby.
Take my baby.
This is my Malamute. Take it.
She was selling it so hard.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm glad that woman and her dog lost because she was so rude to us.
I mean, do you remember the shops? So they have the little shops that are set up there.
Some of
the things they sell, obviously, it's all dog related. But I mean, do you remember the sweaters with the knitted dogs on them?
No.
Who buys that?
Here's the thing. Dog culture and clothes and houses and things for your dogs is really big in Asia, and I go there a lot. So, like, it wasn't a shock to me to see, like, luxury dog homes that you put either in your home or behind your home.
Mm-hmm.
But for you, I mean, you were kind of interested in the bronze statues of flat-coated retrievers, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
The bronze!
Inside joke.
Inside joke.
We're not telling you yet.
It'll come, but like, let's just say like there's someone we don't like that we call the bronze. And we when we talk about that person, we say, the bronze! And we say it that way. You know, now there's going to be a Twitter conversation about who the bronze is.
And no one's going to get it right.
Yeah, first of all, you guys are all wrong. It's so obscure, yeah. But, so this year, like, last year I did this thing with the dog show in you know, it's a Purina event. And Purina actually is having me come back and do this crazy satellite tour where you sit in one room and talk to, you know, 300 different news outlets. And I'm taking Toma up this year, which I'm really nervous about because, you know, while Debbie has humping behavioral issues, I don't see it as a behavioral issue for...
Right.
For Tilma, he's perfect in every way, but he gets nervous when he's in situations that he's not comfortable with. So he's never really been in front of a TV camera before, so I'm nervous about taking him. Like, he might just rise up and go full kamikaze, like, put on his little leather helmet and goggles and just, like, jump and attack the cameraman or something like that.
Oh, I can't wait. That'll be fun.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I don't know if it'll be fun or not. I know I'll perform well, and I already have my outfit picked for that. Moments.
Oh, you do? We should talk about that.
Yeah, that we'll definitely have to talk about. We'll do it off camera. Yes. Or off pod.
Off the
iPad.
Pod.
Off this thing.
That we do.
Yeah. I have a question for you. You know how to make a porn name?
What is it? Your first pet?
Your first pet and the first street you grew up on. What is yours?
Camelot King William. So unsexy.
Maybe I'll just start calling you Camelot. I have an awesome one, which is pretty much why I brought it up in the first place. Mine
what is,
get ready.
Why haven't we done this before? Go on.
I don't know. You know, we probably have done it on the podcast and we just don't remember.
Okay.
Mine, get ready. And just imagine, okay, first of all, imagine a marquee outside of an old theater with just random light bulbs.
Okay.
You know, saying like, oh, Marilyn Monroe's here or something.
Okay.
Buck. Tanglewood.
That is incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I have never heard anything gayer. Buck Tanglewood.
Johnny, why did you name your first pet Buck? That is so unlike you.
I didn't name him. My dad named him.
Oh.
We had huskies, and he was big and apparently crazy, and his name was Buck, and I grew up on Tanglewood, and it is just, it has...
Buck Tanglewood.
It has gay porn success just written into that name.
I see it in lights.
Yeah. So speaking of gay porn, I skated in an ice show last week.
The Queen of Bryant Park.
The Queen of Bryant Park. And it was awesome. Like, I skated really well. It was completely filled around the rink, which I love when that happens in New York. Because I've skated a few times in outdoor rinks in New York where, like, you'll get two people and a pigeon that show up and one of them throws Cracker Jacks at you. Like, New York just does not care.
Right.
So I was really excited when, like, the whole place filled up.
Quadlets don't care.
Quadlets? Oh, who?
Mommy hates it.
Mommy hates it. So I skated in the show and, you know, I was worried because of my inner tube stomach and it all went swimmingly well and I was really happy and it wasn't a big to do aside from like it was completely filled and I skated great and people loved it. But afterward, I decided to go out to dinner and I had put a collective together of my manager, Lena, and her boyfriend, my friend Jackie, my friend Krista. And then another couple that were friends with me back in the day and now are still friends and kind of moving back in. So one of those just really tragic situations when they're all people that you love, but putting them together could be difficult.
Okay.
So we went to Marivana, which is my favorite Russian restaurant.
And you love
it too. Yeah.
Should
it's
we
my
explain
favorite.
what it's
okay.
like there? It's
so
like
Marivana,
adorable.
It's not a chain. There are just several around the world, which I guess is ultimately the description of a chain. But it's called Marivana, and it's based on this old Russian story, Soviet story, really, of this grandmother whose name was Maria Ivanovna, and she would cook for people as they passed by. She had no family of her own, so she would cook for people, and they would come up to her apartment, and she would give people a key so they could come in and eat whenever they wanted. So these restaurants are based on that idea. So the inside of the restaurant looks like, your grandma's kitchen, and definitely a Russian grandma's kitchen. So, like, the little porcelain napkin holders with paper napkins and funny little, like, cozies to put over your soups to keep them warm. And the tables, they don't all match, and the chairs don't match. It's just really, really fun and festive, and they've got great drinks. Which leads me to my next point. So I have friends at Marivana. Like, I've been going there for years, and, like, I always love to entertain groups of people there because it's Russian food's usually like an exotic adventure, a carpet ride for them. And for me, I love Russian food. So we were eating. I was drinking. And when you drink on a Tuesday night after a great performance, it wasn't even my usual, like, two glass and hiccup situation. It was like four glasses of wine.
Oh, that kind of night.
I had a day off the next day, so this is a judgment-free zone. Day completely off aside from, like, a trip to my heart doctor, just to get that all checked up. But it was
not very eventful.
Yeah, but, like, I'm an enabler, so if you want to have a piece of cake, I'm like, do it.
Right.
I'll watch you.
Right.
So everyone else, like, oh, gosh, we have to get up for work tomorrow. We have a flight. Like, Lena, my poor manager, she was like, oh, we have to fly to Cleveland tomorrow. I can't drink anymore. And I was like, let's go to club. So we decided that we were all going to go to Provocateur, which is the only place that I go out and, like, rage and dance and stuff in New York. And they're inexplicably open on Tuesdays, and it's really face-controlled and lovely, and I love it there.
Right.
Because nobody's going to be, like, taking pictures of you being drunk and stupid. And everyone went there, and the next day I woke up, first of all, slightly hungover, like I needed a chicken nugget, but I had all of these strange photos just with, like, hordes of Russians, because apparently
amazing.
I had invited the entire restaurant of Marivana to go to Provocateur with us. And it's not that kind
of
place.
And did it,
like,
happen? Do you remember? You have to remember.
I remember bits and pieces. I definitely remember, like, I met some great Russian Taekwondo guy and his posse, and then there were some Russian ladies with us, but, like, they're super nice because they've all been calling me all week from weird phone numbers.
And you have no idea who they are.
No idea, and I'm just answering, and sometimes, like, when you never really know, well, if if these people are friends or foes.
Right.
So I just kind of answer, I'm like, who? Who are you? We met where?
I mean, what? Russian nights are really fun. So I've had a few. Mm-hmm. I think in skating, you always have Russian nights as somewhat part of your year. At least one or two, I find, is a good balance. Mm-hmm. You may have more. But
I have them a lot more often than I should.
I remember, I mean, I love Marivana, but I remember, like, a couple years ago, I went, my old coach, Craig Marisi, works out of Hackensack, and I went down there for a week to skate. And then, you know, a couple people from the rink and everything, we all went out one night in New York. And I can't remember. They took us to a Russian spot. You probably would know it.
The vodka room?
Yeah, like one of those places. And mm-hmm. I love it because you go in and somehow, like, everyone knows who's coming to their restaurant. How that's possible, because you would think a lot of people, like, cycle through. I mean, think about a regular restaurant. You go to, like, an Italian spot. You know, you're welcomed by the hostess and you sit down. And maybe they'll remember you if you go back a lot. But it's almost like every time you walk in, it's like old friends. It's like you would think that it's, you know, their cousin. So I remember being greeted and everyone was sort of laughing and talking, speaking Russian, and I'm just smiling awkwardly. And by the end of the night, like, they just bring out food. And I'm like, I don't understand this, because I asked, do you really know him? And he's like, no. And I don't know if it's just, like, a Russian and a Russian connecting, but we just got, like, all these fun, free, like, plates of food and whatever. But by the end of the night, I remember someone just taking a bottle and throwing it on the floor, like a bottle of champagne that's splattered on the floor. And then everyone, like, laughs and cheers. And it just was, like, one of those moments where you're like, people have no idea what a Russian night is.
No. And you're like, I am so American.
At that moment, I was like, okay, someone's going to get hurt.
Yeah. I'm not slipping on that. But no, like, the Russian way is you go to a restaurant and you don't book, like, a reservation for restaurants where you're like, okay, well, I'll make a reservation for 6:30. And then they expect, especially the busier New York restaurants, they don't expect you, you're expected to be out after, like, an hour after you've eaten. You aren't really invited to sit for the whole night. But Russian restaurants, you go and the table is yours until you're done eating. And that done eating could last you, like, 16 vodka courses.
Right.
So that's why. Like, I still know almost the entire staff of Mari Vanna. Just, you know, they've helped me in a lot of rough times. Like, I wore really high heels one night, drank too much, and I fell down several times trying to navigate through that restaurant. Like, I love going to spots like that.
Yeah,
that are
it's
yours.
Like a cheers moment. You just, you know, guys know each other.
Now, I mean, we're not moving on. I mean, we're not going to get really political because it's not our place, because we're ice skaters. But no, every vote counts. But how excited are you? I mean, by the time that people listen to this, the vote's going to be over. How excited
that
you
don't
have to... How
crazy is that? We're going to have a new president.
I mean, awesome. But I'm just excited for the ads to stop.
Oh, I know.
Like, we have... the Pennsylvania, one of the races, is really, really awful. And they... Like, the woman candidate is versus a dude candidate, and the commercials piggyback off one another always, and it's constant. And I don't have a lot of time to sit and watch TV, so when I do, I want to enjoy it.
Right. Not watch a lot of bickering.
Yeah, and they call each other names and stuff. Like, can you imagine if, okay, here's the thing. If somebody ever tried to take our jobs as commentators, and we put out commercials saying all of this awful stuff about them, do you think we'd still win the vote? Like,
that is,
it makes
it
us look worse.
It is so weird. I mean, it's at that point, I'd awful. Be like, oh, take it if you want.
Yeah, if you want it, like, I'm not wasting my money to buy a TV spot. Good for you. But I just think it makes people look so much worse. And the funny thing is, after these elections are over, we're still going to have to live with these people that are currently in there, especially the ones that are, you know, campaigning hard on TV and
stuff. Yeah, I guess sometimes you forget then. You're just like, yeah. Oh, I didn't remember that you took that person through the mud.
Yeah. I don't remember that you allegedly sent like 20 million jobs to Spain and then, like, took them away from Pennsylvania households. Like, I'm so over it. I'm so excited. And I hope all of our listeners went to vote.
And on that note, Johnny, we're kind of like through. There's no more time for our podcast.
And we really look forward to interacting with you. As always, you can interact with us on our social media at Tara Lipinski, at Johnny G. Weir, at Tara and Johnny. It's our joint venture
and our joint platform. And please subscribe to the podcast.
Yeah. Honey, do you want to tell them how dire it is that
they
need to subscribe?
Yeah, I think just one sentence will really sum it up. Subscribe or the podcast dies. Dead.
Word, m'lady. I want to thank all 19 and a half billion of you that are listening. We're reaching to the far, you know, people in Japan are listening. People in Russia are listening. So we're saying arigato by Siba to all of you guys. The dudes are watching. So we're saying, yeah, bruh, to you guys. And we just love you so much. And we love entertaining you. And we hope you get some nice, happy, warm fuzzies from listening to us.
Talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
This program is brought to you in living color on NBC. The opening and some non-presentation portions were pre-recorded.